Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to him, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from tongs from the altar, with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord. Will you join me in saying the catechetical review? Thus the entire Holy Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, directs all people to Christ as the book of life, in whom they should seek the Father's eternal election. For the Father has decided from eternity that those whom he wanted to save, he willed to save through Christ, as Christ himself said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14. Formula of Concord, solid declaration. The epistle is out of Romans chapter 11, 33 and following. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable is his ways. Inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel for Holy Trinity according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you,
O Holy Trinity Sunday. Woohoo! This is the Sunday that traditionally the Lutheran Church uses, the Athanasian Creed. Now, perhaps you're not a fan. Perhaps when you came into church this morning and as the usher was handing you the bullet and then you opened it up and you went, you might have sighed and rolled your eyes. That's right. It's Holy Trinity Sunday. We got to say, we're going to confess this really long creed. Why do we feel this way about this creed? Well, the obvious thing is it is, of the three creeds that we confess, it is the longest creed. It's got a weird name. I was telling the kids that. Athanasius. Who is this guy anyway? It's difficult to understand. It seems so repetitive in nature. But instead of focusing on the negative aspects of it, let's take a look at this creed and why it is that we confess this in the church. Heresies and false teachings are nothing new. Heresies are grounded in attempting to tear apart usually two things, the Holy Trinity, and to make Jesus something, usually something less than he is. And please allow me here, if you would, just to read that introductory paragraph that you have in your worship folder for the Athanasian Creed, because I think this is helpful this morning, and a little bit of history here to start with. Early in the 4th century, a new teaching appeared which claimed that Jesus was not true God. Arius, the North African priest who first proposed this theory, was extremely persuasive, and soon the controversy was so widespread that a church council was called to settle the matter. Out of that meeting in AD 325 came the Nicene Creed, which clearly confesses Jesus to be true God. That creed, which was expanded in AD 381 in order to defend the divinity of the Holy Spirit, is still widely used today as a confession of the triune faith. And despite the clarity of the Nicene Creed, the controversy continued for some time. Toward the end of the 5th century, another creed was written that marveled at the mystery of the Trinity in a way that no creed had ever done. Though attributed to Athanasius, a 4th century opponent of Arius, this anonymous creed clearly came at a later stage in the debate. The Athanasian Creed proclaims that its teachings concerning the Holy Trinity and our Lord's incarnation are the Catholic faith. In other words, this is what the true church of all times and all places has confessed. And more than 15 centuries later, the church continues to confess this truth, confident that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has given himself for our salvation. And what was that? To deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. So as it says, although Athanasius is not credited with writing this creed, it did articulate everything that he stood for, hence his name kind of stuck with it. And by the way, by the 8th century, all bishops were required to learn it by heart, to know it. Now, there's probably a couple of things that we should talk about before we confess the Athanasian Creed today. And if you look at this with me, if you want to follow along here for a second or two, if you look at the first two lines of it, it says this: "Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally." Well, sometimes this has a tendency to make Lutherans make their hair stand on end. Because when we hear that word, what is it? Catholic. Oh no. What does that mean? Well, if you notice here in the creed, it's Catholic with a small c. All right? This is speaking of the universal, the worldwide church, the church of all times and in all places, as we say. And then the next two lines here in the creed, they define what this Catholic faith is then. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. And substance is that description that we see in the Nicene Creed. So this creed is designed to expose and bring to light every heresy. As another pastor calls it, he says it's designed to smoke out every heresy that there is. Designed to close any loopholes with heretics, false teachings. This is why throughout we see this language that seems very repetitive in nature. But remember, dear saints, it's written for us for a purpose this way. There's no getting around what this creed clearly articulates. Now, if you just jump to the end of it, look at the last two lines where we find this. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. Whoa, pastor! It looks like this is saying we have to do good works. No. No. We Lutherans, we see that, right? We start talking about works and whew, that's where we go. So we have to ask ourselves then, what does this mean? If you look at John 6, John records that when the crowds came to Jesus, they asked him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Faith in Christ is counted for a good work in the eyes of God. And dear saints, remember also the words of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The work was done by Christ alone, through his word alone, and he has gifted you with the faith that clings to the promises of God, salvation of eternal life unto eternal life for you. So these creeds that we have in the church that we use aren't just some arbitrary things. They clearly articulate and express the doctrines that we find in the Holy Scriptures. And this is why we regularly use the Apostles' Creed from the Small Catechism to train and teach. Our catechumens are then able to explain and expound on these three parts of the creed, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what they all mean. This is important for them, not only them, but it's important for all of us, dear saints, as we are then able to concisely express what it is that we believe from the Holy Scriptures. And in doing so, we are defending the faith. Many churches today will say that they do not have creeds, but they say that they believe in the Bible. And if you were to press them and ask them, what do you believe about the Bible? They may respond with something like this. Well, we have these 10 core beliefs. We have these 10 core values. These 10 tenets, these five main values that we believe. These are also creeds, and it may be confined to their congregation or denomination, but they are still creeds. There are some churches today, and we've heard this a lot in the last few years, deeds, not creeds. And here's an example of a church that expresses this idea. Quote, we put less emphasis on formal beliefs and more on practical living, unquote. That's still a creed. It's not a very good creed, but nevertheless, it's a creed. Dear saints, creeds are found throughout the Bible. For example, in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. And 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to all 12 disciples. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. So for us, dear saints, creeds, this is how we express our faith. Rooted and grounded in God's word, completely relies on and trust in the Lord for all things. Creeds direct us to this word where we find all of God's promises for us in the triune God, and he never changes. In the words of the Athanasian Creed, we find these words of truth that will never change, that express clearly the Holy Trinity. It is still a profound mystery, the Holy Trinity. I cannot explain it to you, but we know that these three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are not three gods, but one. So many will say today that Trinity is not found in the Bible. For sure. The word Trinity is not there, but the Trinity is found throughout all of Scripture. Jesus is equal with God, for he is God in the flesh. And dear saints, this God took upon himself flesh, and as the God-man became the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Fully God and fully human, he suffered and died in a body like ours. And he rose again from the grave, for death could not keep him. And now he is at the right hand of the Father, where he reigns, and he will come again as he promised. And the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, continues that work of sanctification in you. Isn't it great to know, dear saints, that he is not done with us? That he continues every day as we rise in that newness of life in our baptisms. He continues to transform us. He continues to change us, to make us more like him. This work continues until the day that we go to be with him. A God who is anything less than that would not be the God who suffered and died for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.